From the Packers TV network, going end zone to end zone with the green and gold every week. This is Packers Live.
And welcome once again, everybody. Packers 2-1 after a dramatic comeback win, but facing a short week and more injuries. I'm Lance Allen, along with the voice of the Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
Will
Wayne,
it ever end? Injuries. Will the injuries ever end, Lance?
Every single week we talk about this, but, you know, getting into Sunday's game, let's revisit that a little bit.
Yes, let's
and
do that.
First, let's talk about the slow start in the first half. 79 total yards. Yes, they did score a touchdown, but it took a long time.
Lance, this was the safest bet in week three in the NFL. You know, Cincinnati trying to cover a 9.5-point spread at Lambeau Field. You knew the Bengals were going to come out, and they were going to come out sharp, show a few unscouted looks. Bill Lazor got them into a great rhythm, especially his quarterback, who played well all day. And A.J. Green was outstanding on this drive as well. But they got Mixon, Joe Mixon. They're going to feature him. He will be the best running back in the NFL by season's end. And then A.J. Green, he's just phenomenal. He gave the kid, Kevin King, all he could handle, especially on that first drive.
And, yeah, the Bengals scored on two of their first three possessions. Aaron Rodgers, unlike him, throwing a pick six, just the second of his career, and he was sacked five times in the first half. That Bengals defense got after him, Wayne.
Yeah, they really did, and this was just a great break on the ball. He's really a rookie, but he's a second-year player technically because he missed all of last year. William Jackson III took it to the house, his first career interception. Boy, he can tell his grandkids about that, right?
Yes,
off the
will.
Great Aaron Rodgers, a pick six, my first interception of the NFL. Wow.
Only two guys have done that on the pick six. All right, down 21-7 at halftime, the Packers got an early jolt in the third quarter, and it's really, really what they needed, Wayne.
They did. They needed to come out and they needed to reestablish themselves in this football game. They had really struggled offensively since their first drive of the game. But this big pass play here, I thought, loosened things up to Lance Kendricks, and that really got them going. All of a sudden, that put them into Cincinnati territory, and they were able to finish the drive from there. I think that was a key play. Kendricks, I thought, played really well.
Very, very well. He has great rapport with Aaron Rodgers, 51-yard reception, and then, of course, Jordy Nelson scoring after that to tie Sterling Sharp at that point for second on the all-time touchdown reception list for the Packers. And then they go to work even more. There you see Lance Kendricks going down the field, 51 yards on that one. And he just seems to know where Aaron Rodgers is going to get him the ball, Wayne.
I think they have a little bit better chemistry at the moment than Aaron and Martellus Bennett have. But, I mean, I think one of the keys will be going forward, Aaron and Martellus Bennett getting on the same page and exploiting his tremendous talent.
No doubt about it, because he's a big, big guy to bring down. Down seven, Packers take over with 3:46 left to play. And Aaron Rodgers, absolutely masterful, Wayne. You've called this before, and you've seen it again.
This is what a great superstar quarterback does. He's been under siege all day. They can't block number 58, somebody named Carl Lawson. God, he's going from Lambeau Field to Canton. But here's Rodgers. They roll the pocket. See, that's an adjustment they made. Roll the pocket away from Lawson. Get the ball out quickly to the sidelines, that type of thing. And then Rodgers, just some magic here. He's dancing in the pocket. He never left the pocket there. It hit that throw to Jordy Nelson. How do they complete those? How do those guys catch those passes and get 2 feet down in bounds? And then here, Ty Montgomery picking his way. Not much on the ground against Cincinnati. They're a very good defensive front, and the Packers struggle to get them blocked. The Packers offensive line has not won the line of scrimmage, in my opinion, yet this season in any of the three games. So the fact the Packers have won two of those games is really remarkable.
Now, that drive at the end of regulation was surgical and clinical. 21 seconds left. Wayne, they didn't give the Bengals any time to get the ball back and do anything. And then he threads the needle. Rodgers to Nelson. How many times have we seen that, too?
Well, yeah, but you can't see it enough. Look at this. How did Dre Kirkpatrick not get a piece of that football? How did Jordy Nelson catch that ball in bounds in the end zone? And what a tracer by Aaron Rodgers. That was a phenomenal throw. And again, this is what your star players have to do, Lance, if you're going to win these games, especially your quarterback. This is what makes, this is why people favor teams like the Packers and the Patriots and you know, Pittsburgh and you know, Atlanta every year, because they have quarterbacks who can take a team, put it on its shoulders, and drive it to a winning touchdown down the stretch.
And that one gave Nelson sole possession of second place behind the great Don Hudson, who has 99 touchdown receptions. Unbelievable career already for Jordy Nelson.
They didn't throw nearly as much back then either.
No, they didn't either. So that's
as we recall.
Hudson's unbelievable. Now, the defense really set the tone in overtime. Blake Martinez, inspired performance, buried Joe Mixon for the two-yard loss. And then on third down, Dean Lowry gets a fingertip on the ball,
he
but
did.
It's still, you can tell, Wayne, it changed the trajectory.
Yeah.
And then Josh Jones with a sure tackle. The defense did the job right away in overtime.
Croft had to come back to make that catch. You're exactly right. I did mention that on the air when we were calling that play. But what a great tackle by Jones, hanging on for dear life to deny that first down.
You can't let him get yards and get momentum in overtime. So Aaron Rodgers was 0-7 in overtime games. He never even got to throw a pass in four of them,
yeah.
But this time he cashes in, gets the Bengals to jump off sides and goes up top. Geronimo Allison, and then just whoop, zigzags all over the place, 72 yards to get Mason Crosby in field goal position.
He's sensational once he gets the ball in his hands, isn't he?
He is.
Amazing. And that set up the game-winning field goal.
Very,
obviously.
Very elusive, and then Crosby just kicks it through like he has time and time again. It's absolutely unbelievable. Coming up, we're going to talk chalk talk when trying to stop Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense. Yep, that's what Larry's going to talk about coming up.
Packers Live is sponsored by Johnsonville, Mills Fleet Farm, Spectrum, and Cooper Tires.
Welcome back to Packers Live. When trying to stop Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense, defenders have to be very careful. What works once may not work twice. Larry McCarron shows one such case in our Chalk Talk.
In the first half, the Packers gained 78 yards and scored 7 points. In the second and beyond, they gained 266 yards and scored 20 points. And that's when the Bengals learned you can't have it both ways. First half, watch Bengals safety Sean Williams creeping up to stick his nose in the Packers' running game. And he does, taking away the cutback from Ty Montgomery. Second half, Williams is creeping up again, and it looks like the same play. And once again, Williams is taking away the cutback. But it's not the same play. It's a fake to Montgomery, and watch Jordy Nelson streak across the field and behind Williams for 23 yards and a first. The biggest play in a scoring drive, and one of many the Packers made after trailing 21-7 at the break.
Showed a lot of character that we had, a lot of determination. Guys, you know, relying on one another and depending on one another and guys stepping up.
First and 10 on a beautiful play.
It was hot out there, too. The hottest game in Lambeau Field history at 89 degrees. And, Wayne, you gleaned some interesting things to kind of back up what Larry was saying. Tale of two halves,
yeah,
basically.
Tale of two halves. You know, the Packers were just 2 of 7 on third down conversions offensively in the first half of that game. In the second half, they were 5 of 8. Conversely, on the other side, everybody wanted adjustments at halftime. Well, there were plenty of adjustments. You know, Cincinnati was 5 of 7 on third downs in the first half. They were 0 for 5 in the second half. Just 109 yards of offense for Cincinnati in the second half. Meanwhile, the Packers got things going on their end of the field.
And I definitely think that, you know, guys get a little bit fatigued. They don't want to admit it because they are professionals and they're paid to play in that environment. But man, Wayne, they were on the field a long time in the first half. The defense was. They came through in overtime, and they really did a nice job of battling the elements.
Yeah, I thought they did, too. And, you know, the thing I didn't see a whole lot of was Packers players going out with cramps and having to get IVs. I didn't see a lot of that at all. But, you know, on both sides, it was a tough day to play.
Definitely was. All right, the roundtable is next. Doug Russell joins us in studio on Packers Live. Stay with us. And welcome back. Time for the roundtable. We're joined by, we went all the way down the hall and got him at 620 WTMJ, Doug Russell, Packers Radio Network. Doug, thanks for joining us. I know it's a long commute.
Yeah, no doubt. Just down the hallway.
All right. We talked about how the Packers' first-round pick in the second round of the draft, Kevin King, earned more playing time with a strong game in Atlanta. But after watching number 27, Josh Jones, fly all around the field Sunday, is there any doubt that Josh Jones, the second-round pick, is going to be out there a whole lot for the rest of the season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is what you want from your young players. Now, they're going to have their ups and their downs. Certainly, I think we saw that from Kevin King. He was on A.J. Green the entire game. But as far as Josh Jones, I mean, this is a player that you're going to be counting on. There are going to be ebbs and flows, as there are with any young player. I thought that Josh Jones overall had a really nice game.
You know, I think he's starting to play to speed. He's 4-4 in the 40, which is dynamic for a safety. He's the most sudden player they have in their secondary in terms of coming off the second level and getting to the quarterback. We thought when we saw him in the camps, you know, the mini camps and the OTAs, that we would see a guy that they would blitz and be able to blitz effectively off the second level, and that's what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, certainly. This is a guy that when Ted Thompson went out and he did his due diligence in scouting, that he's a quality player. We saw it, like you said, in training camp. And look, again, I have to caution everyone. There's going to be some ebbs and flows. There's going to be some ups and downs. But the early returns on Josh Jones, I think, are outstanding.
Well, and in fact, the ups and downs. I mean, yesterday, you know, all six passes Andy Dalton threw to people covered by Josh Jones were completed, including a touchdown pass where he dropped coverage.
So it wasn't a perfect day.
No, but, you know, you're going to take the good with the bad at this point in time. And there was a lot of good to Josh Jones yesterday. He had 11 tackles in the ball game, two sacks. And, again, I think he showed people what he can do in a dynamic way off that second level of pressuring the quarterback. The offensive line, another area, Doug, I know that everybody's been concerned about. Makeshift once again. They were going up against a very good defensive front. Dunlap had two passes batted. That's what he does. Geno Atkins and Jari Evans had a tremendous battle on the interior. Geno got his way many times, but Jari held in there. But the guy that couldn't block was this Lawson kid.
Lawson,
everywhere. Where did he come from? My goodness, he's
the
a
long
rookie fourth-round draft choice.
He was rushing off of left tackle. That's where he was
coming rookie fourth, Carl Lawson, a fourth-round draft choice out of Auburn. They don't know what to do with him. They want him to be a linebacker. All they're doing now with him is saying, rush the quarterback, and that he did.
Well, and are you guys, I guess the question, the follow-up question is, are you guys concerned going into the Bears game where you've got Bakhtiari on the injury report, Bulaga on the injury report, and now Murphy on the injury
report? Well, this has been my concern with the Packers all season long. I don't know how deep they are. Now, that's the last piece to any championship team is the depth. How good are your backups? And they're being tested right now. And look, I mean, the Packers' offensive line depth has been an issue for several years. You know, when Don Barclay's out, kind of that Swiss Army knife where you can put anywhere, you're going to struggle finding someone when you've got, you know, very good left tackle and a very good right tackle that have had their injury problems.
And nobody in the league, including the New England Patriots, are deep at every position.
Absolutely. Right?
But I can assure you one thing. Where you are not deep, where you are thin, you will suffer injuries.
And left
that's
tackle.
The Packers' offensive
and left
line.
Tackle is a premium position. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And there you see Aaron Rodgers. You don't want to see him down on the ground. Five sacks in the first half. They did kind of clean it up a little bit and only had one sack in the second half, so six sacks total.
Well, and everybody says, well, put anybody out there besides Kyle Murphy. Well, okay, no.
Right.
You need someone.
Who is the other guy? Yeah.
I mean, they're so thin, and when one guy goes down, you know, they have the next man up mentality. That's all well and good. At some point, you're going to run out of left tackles.
Right.
But you can't just throw anyone out there, like you said. And you're right. It is a premium position.
Two topics to hit before we get out of here, Doug. Ty Montgomery, he plays a lot. I mean, he's playing just about every down for the Packers offensively at the running back spot. Production, what have you seen so far?
Not a lot. You know, Ty Montgomery is a player, obviously, we all know his story, converted wide receiver to the running back position. He's someone who wants the ball. He's someone who wants to be effective. He wants to be on the field, and that's all well and good. But you're seeing someone who's not a running back. And you know, he still has some problems sometimes chipping, you know, pass rushers in pass protection. We've seen that a little bit. There is a learning curve. Mike McCarthy doesn't want to talk about the learning curve anymore. He says it's now time to produce. Okay, it's time to produce, but I'm not sure that Ty Montgomery is going to be that guy that's going to carry you to that next level.
And I think we're going to see some of the younger guys, because it's a short week. Yeah. We're going to see some of the younger guys, Jamal Williams,
probably first
and foremost, get more touches, more carries.
You're probably going to see Aaron Jones a little bit more, too, I would think.
Definitely.
The last thing is the nitro package. Dom Capers, his best athletes are on the field in the nitro package. That's where you have an extra safety playing at a linebacker position. You've got three defensive backs behind him, that type of thing. Talk a little bit about that. I think the life and breadth of this nitro package and how much we'll see it is how well they can hang in with that package against the run, because Atlanta really hurt them. And in the first half, Cincinnati took advantage of that package as well on the ground.
Well, certainly. And, you know, you want to have those guys in there, especially when you've got elite players like an A.J. Green like they saw last week, Julio Jones like they saw in week one. So maybe we'll see with Chicago coming in. They've had their offensive struggles so far this year. Maybe it's a good opportunity to see maybe some more of that nitro package as well. Look, I think Morgan Burnett has been one of the most versatile players on this team. And when he moves up into that linebacker slot, I think he's been really, really good. But it's just a matter of, you know, you've gone up against some really good offenses.
And of late with Jones, really quick, I know we've got got to go with Jones in there now. You're going to see Morgan Burnett move over to the slot. He'll probably be covering in the slot. So you're talking about another safety. You're going to have four safeties on the field maybe at the same time.
Doug, can we get you from down the hall one more time at some point during the year?
Anytime you need me, just down over there.
Speaking of Swiss Army knife, that's the guy right there, Doug Russell. All right, up next, Aaron Rodgers explains the player's message on what was a very different NFL Sunday. Stay with us.
Packers Live is sponsored by Menards, UW Health, and Toyota.
All across the NFL, teams showed various versions of protest in the wake of President Trump's speech urging owners to fire players who did not stand for the national anthem. Aaron Rodgers outlined what he and his teammates tried to demonstrate this Sunday at Lambeau Field in our Packers Extra.
Packers Extra is presented by Johnsonville and Mills Fleet Farm.
You know, on this team, we're going to keep choosing love over hate, unity over division. And that's what it was to us in talking last night and this morning. You know, the few of us who linked arms just wanted to show a united front. We respect our men and women in uniform. We respect our troops. We love them. We appreciate what they do for us. Today was about using our platform to promote love and unity and acceptance and togetherness. And I hope we did that.
And there you saw the shots from Sunday. And Wayne, you know, Lance Kendricks, I know him quite well. He has a brother that he really looks up to. He's in the police force. Kevin King said that he thought long and hard about this because he has members of his family in the military. So this wasn't just a rash decision. It was something that was personal to each and every player.
I don't think any of these demonstrations have been against the military or against the flag or anything quite like that. I think that's been misunderstood. What these athletes are trying to stand up for is what they believe are social injustices that they are seeing in their community. And so that's, I think, the gist of it. It's not about the military. It's not disrespecting the flag, but many interpret it as such.
All right, coming up, another team coming off an overtime win. The Chicago Bears come to Lambeau Field for a division battle under the lights. Stay with us. Welcome back on Packers Live. Bears week, Wayne, rivalry week, and it's a short week. How do you cram all that in one week?
Well, we're cramming, that's for sure.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Not much expected out of the Bears, but impressive. Two or three games overtime win against Pittsburgh on Sunday. Glennon at quarterback ahead of rookie Mitchell Trubisky and the two-headed running attack. Jordan Howard and rookie Tariq Cohen getting it done, Wayne.
Right, and even the rookie tight end, they call him Baby Gronk. That's Adam Shaheen, small school product, caught his first touchdown pass from Glennon right there. This is the kid you got to watch. This kid, Cohen, he has got jets, and he goes down the sidelines in what appeared to be a touchdown score, but he stepped out of bounds. But this kid is outstanding. 12 carries, 78 yards, very quick. He's only 5'6". Good things come in a small package. And this is Jordan Howard, second leading rusher in the NFL a year ago. Back at it again with a game-winning touchdown run there, his second touchdown run of the day. The Bears rushed for 220 yards in this ball game against a pretty good Pittsburgh defense up front. That was impressive.
Now, how do you live this down, Wayne? I always thought Don Beebe had the play of all time by catching Leon Lett in the Super Bowl. Well, here comes Marcus Cooper, and he showboats, Wayne.
Sherrick McManus blocks the field goal. Cooper's on his way to the end zone right before halftime. But he pulls up, and he starts showboating, and the ball gets knocked away from behind, eventually knocked out of the end zone. They set up the Bears for a field goal, but instead of getting seven, they get three. They leave four on the field, and they have to play overtime later
on. Perfect training tape for kids, Wayne. You always tell kids, finish the play, get in the end zone.
Goodness.
You feel bad for the young man, don't you? They never learn. It's just terrible. All right, for the voice of the Packers, Wayne Larrabee, I'm Lance Allen. See you next week on Packers Live.